Bless the words of faith today that we may hear, I know, and understand. The Messiah's holy name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. We do thank the Father for all things I do. And I'm very grateful for all that He has done. And not only what He has done, but what He is doing. As I see the mayhem, it's a very cataclysmic one. Whereby the foundations and the power of truth is being eroded out of the souls and the hearts of men. Whereby they are replacing that with counterfeits and things that actually soothe just one proponent of the body. Not the soul or the mind or the spirit. It simply soothes the flesh. And that is what man is looking for today. He's not looking for those values or the things that produce this spirit and the light of Yahweh in his soul. And that light is the power of his love. And love is more, it is an expression. It is a light of the countenance. It's what it produces. It's life. For Yahweh is love. He shed his only begotten Son, and he produced love. One of the most prominent things that Paul, as he began to write unto Timothy, the faithful, gathered there in Ephesus, he said, you will know that you are in perilous times, not perilous, very dangerous times that you don't understand the paradox of it. They're dangerous, very elusive times. He said, you will understand that when you began to find men becoming, first of all, the first spirit that he identified, the very first. He said that men will become lovers of themselves. That is what he identified. And this is the generation that is self-consumed. They love themselves. Them. Now the scripture doesn't tell you that. And Paul said, you will know that you have entered into a time that is so perilous. Because you will find this predominant power today. Men loving themselves. They love themselves more than they love the truth of Yahweh. They become boastful. Proud. Blasphemers. But that is the heart of man today. And that is why it must constantly be judged and purged. As you all notice, I began to speak on a message concerning Jezebel, this polluted thing. And I said to you, first of all, her first thing, or her authority she perceives she possesses, is to destroy the living word of Yahweh, the vessels of authority, the vessels of power. And so the first thing she did, she destroyed the prophets that Obadiah had to hide them in the caves and the dens and fed them. And secondly, she became very froward in her speech, not as much as her words, but her attitude. I say to this generation and to us, we never see ourselves. And that is to your demise and your destruction. We think that someone else possessed that character and that spirit. But we never think it's us and me. That is going to bring more destruction to you than anything. So she was very forward. She spoke unadvisedly. She spoke from her heart because she rejected the counsel of Yahweh. She rejected Elijah. So you began to reject a bit of authority and truth. And you began to rely upon the counsel or the wicked counsel of your own hearts. So she rejected that. She said, I will not receive that. And as you have done unto the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, so shall it be upon thee. As her frowardness, or uncontrolled manner, her speech, that has no seasoning at all. It is the strength of her own pride, her haughtiness, and her arrogance. So that is how she spoke. And then thirdly, she brought a false witness against the vineyard of Naboth, the one that bared forth the vineyard of Yahweh, that brought fruit. So she brought a false witness against that one. And men today, they will do those things. They'll bring false witnesses. Will bring false witness against the one that bear fruit. I must tell you, saints, that Yahweh is an austere man. He is very austere. He's very hard. He's not this image that we think that we do know. He is not about that. And it has come because of our emotions. Most preachers are so timid today and afraid. And so when they discern that there is something uncomfortable with one, then they began to backtrack, or they will not identify the sins of the hearts of the people. That is what's going to destroy you, your own wickedness, and your own sins. It's not going to be someone else's. You're not going to go before Yahweh and say it was Pastor Roberts or Sister So. No. Because the scripture tells us what to do. Even as Paul wrote, he said even to the servants, he said, servants, he said, serve your masters. He said, those that are good to you and those that are cruel, those that offend you, he said, you serve them all the same. Not with eyes serving as men pleasers, you do with the fidelity of hearts. The scripture says to us, let the righteous man smite me or strike me. It shall be an excellent oil upon my head. And today, this is a generation that will not receive any smiting or striking. It rejects that. It will not adhere to that. And the discipline of Yahweh comes by that measure. And by that anointing. It's not going to come any other way. He said, let the righteous man smite me, for it shall be an excellent oil upon my head. Now, I said that I will continue in the process of this preaching on Jezebel, but there's something else I want to touch today. Because I don't believe we really know the scripture, saints. There is no way you're going to understand mathematical equations unless you spend time studying the formulas of math. There is no way at all. You're not going to understand that. So it is, with the things of Almighty Yahweh. You're not going to grasp them unless you study the scriptures. And it's more than just reading the scriptures. You cannot read them. You must study them. When a man studies them, he gives diligently his heart over unto that measure. And he will know that he has spent adequate time understanding that because it began to bear fruit. It began to bring forth fruits. So we must begin to do that. This is a very lazy generation. I've said that more than once. We will spend time in Walmart. Spend time in folly. When it comes to Yahweh, we have no time for him. We spend time in frivol things. Foolish things. Empty things. When it comes to his truth, that there may be a revelation of knowledge and an understanding that will bring forth an abundance of fruit. We don't spend time to that. Glory. We won't do that. And I say to all of you precious daughters of Zion, all of you sisters, every last one of you all, Yahweh has never, He has always given doctrine to men. He will never give it to a woman. He gave it to Adam in the beginning to speak a law to Eve. He will never give it to her. It is revealed unto her by the hearing of the preaching of the words. As she yes, sir, yes, ma'am. As she receives that. That's why you got so many women today, they call themselves preachers, evangelists. So boldly they call themselves bishops. So boldly they call themselves apostles. Do you tell me that comes by revelation of Yahweh? You tell me that's him? When a woman declares she's a bishop, she declares she's an apostle. She declares she's a pastor and evangelist. He gave gifts unto men. And that is what he did. He gave the law to Adam to speak unto Eve. Those things that concern his righteousness. It was not the man that transgressed. It was the woman. She was caught in transgression. And so that law had to be revealed unto her by the mouth of her head. The Adam man, the first man, the first. And Yahweh is the head of Yahshua. And Yahshua is the head of every man. That's scripture. But the man is head of woman. You can reject it, but it's still scripture. You can't reject scripture. You must love all of it. You can't live by some of it. You must live by all of what he says. And that which is not pleasing unto you, is you can't reject that. You allow the word of Yahweh to cut. It's a two-edged sword. So that's the first side of this hour. Men become lovers. We know that we're in very perilous times. When men began to love themselves more than they love Yahweh. When they love their environments more than they love the truth. That you're dealing with dangerous grounds, and that's what we are dealing with today. We're dealing with a mindset that is so polluted, and so vile. It cannot even interpret truth. Because we're dealing with a Laodicean people. They rule. They will rule the men of Yahweh. They want to rule every aspect. And yet they can't even rule their own hearts. Their own spirits. And so Yahweh, he laid government in his house. And there's a government in the house of Yahweh. There's an order. Even in the house of Satan, there's a government. You give all. You sacrifice. You obey him. What? You obey the lust? If any man love the world. If any man loves the world. If any man cares for the world. If any man got any appetite for the world. Then the love of Yahweh is not in that man. I don't care who the man is. I don't care who the woman is. If there is a propensity for the world. Then the love of Yahweh is not in them. For all that is in the world is the love of lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And these things are not of Yahweh. The world and the lust thereof, they all are going to pass away. So the man that loved the world and loved the appetite of the world and the desire for the world, then the love of Yahweh is not in that man. Regardless of who he is, she is, there is no love for Yahweh's truth in them. When the world excites you, the things of the world excite you, there's no love for Yahweh. It ought to be his living word that excites us. It ought to be the revelation of Messiah, the hope of Israel, that there is salvation to a people. And so if any man loves that, then the love of Yahweh is not in him at all. Men are walking in death today, and the reason the scriptures tells us why they're walking in death. There's death in the hearts of many today. A separation from Yahweh. Their minds are removed from him. Their hearts do not pass it after the living water. As a deer panted after the water brook. There's a generation that doesn't realize that every word that they speak, they're going to be judged by. He never told me to love my mother more than I love a saint. He never even told me to love my wife more than I love another saint. I will show you in scripture. This construed thing we call love is so polluted. It's vile, it's filthy. It is not Yahweh because he's not dwelling in you. The scriptures are precise. And they're exact. Oh, I know there are things that man has in his own prowess tried to do. Yet the spirit of it, Yahweh has revealed that. That's why he has allowed men to understand things. How many years you kept and did not keep the Shabbat. And yet all of a sudden that revelation came to knowledge. And the truth of that. Well, there were those that were keeping it. You frowned upon them. Yes, we did. You didn't think they were right. They didn't go your way, so they were wrong. They were not walking like you, so they did not have the truth. And all of a sudden, he began to reveal that shimmer of light unto you. It's just as important as every last one of them. And the first one is that I am. He is who he is. He is Yahweh. And he has a name too. He has a name. That's such craziness. That what? Can I ask you a question? Who in here that have known their natural father? You've known yours? And they all have a name. And so does the father. Messiah coming say that I got a father. What's his name? He's Lord. What is that? He has to identify. He has to identify with what? And he has a name. I want to read some scriptures. I will pick up on the account of Jezebel on that Shabbat, but there's some things I want to read. The scripture says in 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, I want to read this. I know exactly what it says. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. The scripture tells us this. I want you to hear this. With all understanding, we must get understanding. And I warn all of you, saints of Yahweh, you must be gone to be approved of by him. And that is taking time in the scripture.
The world has blinded the mind so that man has no time for your way. He has blessed you here, brothers and sisters, whereby you're not cumbersome with labor, with bills, with those kinds of things. We got brothers, they share the responsibility in their faithfulness unto Yahweh in giving. So it frees your daughters of Zion up to pray. That's what the daughters of Zion do. That's what a virtuous daughter, they pray and seek Yahweh for the strength of the house, that the men may be fortified and valiant men with strength and anointing. You don't find very much of that today. Shaitan knew that in the surmise of Eve in her speaking, that he could bring the man down. If she had to just simply take the laws, receive them, and obey them with fullness of heart, that's all she had to do. That's all she had to do was to obey. And yet, she rejected that. Now this is what the scripture says in 1 John. Chapter 3 and verse 14. John said that we know, not that we think. When a man knows something, it is revealed unto him. He said, first of all, for we know that we have passed. Now listen to this, saints. I want you to hear this. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We understand that it's revealed unto us. There is no doubt at all about it. We have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That is a sure sign that a man knows that death has no power in him and there is no separation of Yahweh. When a man understands that he has a pure love for the brethren, when his heart is sincere and there's a love of devotion for the brethren, you know then that you have passed from death unto life. Now you don't find that today. You find a dissimulation, a hypocrisy of what we call love is not pure. You will know that a man has passed from life, from death unto life, that he has love for the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He abide in a separation of Yahweh. He is not even close to him. He's not walking in Yahweh's counsel. That is literal death, and it is a profound spiritual death. He was not talking to the dead here. He was talking to those that were alive. He was not speaking to those in the grave. When John wrote that, he was speaking to those that were alive. So he said, you're those that hate their brothers, their body in death. There's a separation from them unto Yahweh. They have no light of his truth, and there is no love of his truth. You will know whether they love Yahweh. For he says in verse, he says in 1 John chapter 5, listen to this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. He said, but this we know, that we love the children of Yahweh. 1 John chapter 2. This is how you know you love the children of Yahweh. That you love the seed, his offspring. When we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. When you keep the commandments of Yahweh. This, by this that we love, by this we know that we love the children of Yahweh. When we love Yahweh and keep his commandment. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous unto us. You will know that you love the saints, for you love him fervently with all. When a man certainly loves him, then he will keep his commandments, his laws. He will obey him. He will do what he says. He will submit unto him. He will not submit unto the law of the flesh. The flesh is corrupt. The heart is deceitful. It lies to you. No, not my heart. Your own heart lies to you. And your heart tells you lies. It's not the heart of someone else lying to you. It is your own heart that lies to you. Speak lies and corruption. It's your own heart that corrupts you. You're not going to go before him and say, Adam did that. Said it was the woman that thou gavest me. He says, not going to work, Adam. I gave you the law. And your love toward me is that you would keep my commandments. You would obey what I said. And in doing that, you would show that love to Eve. But you did not do what I said. You did not obey me. You would not adhere to what I said. And we find that so prevalent today. Men don't see the intent of their hearts and the corruption that lies within them. That is what separates a man from Yahweh. It is not the sin that will commit against you or the egregious thing they do toward you. They did all kinds of things toward Messiah, and there was no guile found in his mouth at all. They spat on him. They kicked him. They bruised him. They pierced him in his side. And yet there was no guile found in his mouth at all. He was brought before Pilate, before the court of law, and yet he did not speak a vile thing or an evil thing. Not one thing at all. Not at all. Why? Because he had the heart of Almighty Yahweh. And we need that spirit today, saints. We need that above all things. And we don't get that, then woe unto you. Woe unto you. No, it is not your brother, your sister. It is you. It is your wickedness. But if God says he loves the Father and keeps not his commandments, he's a liar. If a man says he loves him and do not what he says or keep not his commandments, he's a liar and the truth about it not in that man. And so then he must be of his father, the devil. That is why in this hour he's revealing his name. Certainly, old man, he's revealing his name. It's not going to be some pagan form. You're not going to reach out there to some God. You must know who you're talking to in this hour. That's why he said, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You mention that name, you always, men hate you, they despise you. You can see in their countenance the change in the spirit. Yeah, because my tradition has taught me is this. No, it's not Jesus. Only in the name of Yahweh, whereby there's salvation. No other name. In that name. Comes no other way. I searched the scriptures. I want to touch on a little bit of that this morning. It talks 57 times about whose name. In every place where it said whose name is Sharai, whose name is Nathias, in that phrase, I will tell you what the word whose mean. You don't know what it means. We don't even search. We spend no time for the things that are very relevant today. We spend no time. You will spend time gossiping and lying and busybody. But when it takes time to pick up a dictionary or to pick up a concordance, you won't spend 1 second doing that. And you actually think you know. And you don't know, saints. You're not going to prove yourself unless you get into this book here. And you must study it. Sure you must. And then he will cause it to be preached to you that you may have faith in it. That's why the Bereans, they believe every word. They believe everything. They receive it with readiness of heart and open mind. And then they search the scripture to see if the things were so. Men don't even search the scripture. They search their wicked hearts. They try to find out someone that has the same kind of familiar spirit. And then they go to them. They don't go to scriptures now. There have been folks that have accused me. They will never go to scripture. They can't go to any scripture and show me where I'm wrong. Get the Bible. Get the book and show me. They can't do it. Your doctrine is wrong. No idea what the heart, the mind, the spirit, and the soul of man is wrong because you don't like me telling you your sins. I'm telling you your wickedness. If I preached all the revealed things of Revelation, how would you know? There are thousands of interpretations of that. Which one is right? But it's one thing that you know what is right when he deals with you, your heart, showing you your sins. You don't have to doubt that because he's personalizing that to you. I began to preach all the end times. I can preach it in 5, 6, 20 different ways. And the only way you're going to know unless he reveal it unto you. No, you won't know. So many interpretations. It's not of no private interpretation. First of all, Paul said unto Timothy, you preach the word. He told him to preach. What word did he preach? He preached the law of the prophets. He preached the Torah. He preached Psalms. That's all Timothy had to preach. What else did he preach? Tell me what else Timothy preached. What else did he preach? Tell me what Timothy preached. Did he have the New Testament? He preached from the Torah. He preached from the prophets. He preached from Psalms. That's what he preached from. Nothing else he preached. He didn't have no New Testament. In there, he saw Yahshua, the salvation of man in the old law. It's there from Genesis to Revelation. The Word was made flesh. The Word has never been flesh until it was made flesh. It was made flesh. Yahweh is the Word. It was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. It was never flesh in the kingdom. It was made flesh. And we held the glory of Almighty Yahweh, His eternal power in flesh. It was made flesh. It did not become flesh. It was made flesh. He made it flesh. He made it flesh. He made it flesh. The Word was there from the beginning. And the Word, the Father, Son, they had been one. And the Word was made flesh. It was not created two people. It was one. When a man has a love for Yahweh's truth, that's what Paul told Timothy, to preach the Word. He didn't have one word to preach. You must understand that that was a personal letter to Timothy. And yet it was a personal letter to the body. Because Timothy was the body. It was a person. All these letters that Paul wrote, they were personal letters. They were to the elders. That's what they were for. And these letters, they were carried about. They were written by scribes or written down and passed on to other assemblies in Ephesus, Thyatira, Philadelphia. They were passed on to the other assemblies. And as the elders came through, Paul has written us from Rome in prison. And these are the things he said as he wrote unto the saints of Corinth. There were personal letters. There were personal letters. Well, he wrote that by a personal expression because Almighty Yahweh is personal. He deals with you and your sins, saints. It is your sins that separate you from Him. It is not another man's sin. It is your hatred. It is the thing that is in your heart that separates you from Him. That brings death. It wasn't Eve's sin that brought death to Adam. It was Adam's sin. That's why the Father said, no, you're going to pay for that. And you're going to pay. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. And what you're going to reap is just corruption and filthiness. And you find that today, I find it, it's a sad it's a tragedy, it's a travesty. The thing that is transpiring in the hearts of men today. For they have deleted your way out of their minds. Their hearts. No, they don't even talk about, quote, God or Jesus or nothing like that. They don't even talk about that. They don't even mention that name. The hypocrisy of this generation. And yet they say, they love, oh, I love Him. You love Walmart better. You love a dollar bill more. You love a sensual thing greater. You get more excited about things like that than His truth. That breaks the shackles of bondage and the sin off of your life. That separates you from the powers of darkness. Those are the things that excite this world today. Why? Because the love of Yahweh is not in them. They love the world. They love the things of the world. They love the appetite of the world. They treasure the things of the world. That's why the rich young ruler could not get into the kingdom and into that place. He had kept all the commandments from his youth up. And Messiah said, yet thou lackest one thing. I read to us last night, if these things be in you, you will neither be barren, nor will you lack anything. And yet the man lacked the one thing, essential thing he needed. And that was a true love for Almighty Yahweh. He went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had much. You got much invested in you, your flesh, your will, your desire, and you go away sorrowful from Yahweh when He deals with your sins and your corruption. That is what bringeth death. That death caused you not to love Him, caused you not to pray, caused you not to get before Him, caused you not to study the Scripture, caused you to let that thing get dust in the house, caused you not to allow any time for Him, but time for everything, but nothing for Him. That's the death that's working in the people today, more so than natural death, because that is evident it's going to happen. And so that's why He ordained men. He anoints them. Yeah, He means what He said. The elder that rules well, he's worth of double honor. That's what Scripture says. Especially he that labor in doctrine, in Scripture, that brings forth the Scriptures to us. He's worthy. That's what Scripture says. You can't take that away. You take that away, you take everything away. You take away what He said, that He's become a liar. And He can't lie. They will honor the wicked. They will honor their drunkard sons, their whorish daughters. They will honor the wicked world, their wicked mammies and grandmammies. I use that expression. But they will honor Yahweh's words. Scripture tells us to honor all men. I believe that. He tells you to honor all men. And He tells you to love the brotherhood. To honor all men, love the brotherhood. It says, fear Yahweh. That's what it says. And it says, honor the king. Honor all men. That you ought to love the brotherhood. That you ought to fear Yahweh and that you ought to honor the king. That's what Scripture says. You can't do anything less than what He commands you to do. You do anything less than that, then you sin. Man has no right to do. He knows it's good to do. He doesn't do it. It's a sin. It's a wicked thing in his heart. Yeah, let the righteous smite me. I want the righteous to smite me. Strike me. It'll be an excellent oil upon my head. That's what Scripture says. Glory. To Almighty Yahweh. I want to read something. This is a generation that we constantly justify the wicked. That's what we do. And we shouldn't do it. A man that justify the wicked, and they condemn it to righteous, even they both are an abomination unto Yahweh. We condemn the righteous, man. We condemn the just. We justify the wicked. We justify our wicked hearts and our wicked ways and our wicked sins. That's what we do. I'm not talking about the wicked world out there. But a man justify his own wickedness, and he condemn any kind of instructions of any kind, even if it's to your hurt. We do all things as unto your way. That's what we do. They can't compel, they compel you to go 5 miles. You walk 20 miles with them. If they want to take your cloak, give them your shoes and everything. Your dependence in this life is not upon the things of the natural. You got something that is supernatural and extends beyond the natural realm. Hallelujah. But Adam and Eve sinned. They didn't have to kill nothing to clothe them. Yahweh clothed them. That's why we must be clothed in the cloak of righteousness and not in some fleshly cloak. They didn't have to destroy nothing. Yahweh took care of that. He put clothes on them. And yet they were worthy of their sins. They were worthy of the depth of their sins. Just like we are. And then he put them out of the garden. Why? Because they would have defiled the whole thing if he had not put them out. He put a cherubim there with a revolving sword where they couldn't get back in. And that's why once you enter outside the gate, there's a sword of fire. His sword is a piercing weapon. It is a sword of fire. And the only way you're going to come in is going to have to cut off everything. He's going to cut you the scissors and the pieces whereby nothing will rise up against him. So he put the angel, the cherubim, dead so they couldn't come in. That those he's not let come back in. You crucify the Son of Yahweh afresh. You trample down on this blood that's been crucified for you. I don't care what your crazy doctrines tell you, but that's the truth. You're not coming back in. He saw sort of place carefully with tears of repentance, and he couldn't get back. It's lying trust that we've been taught and learned. He's going to take pure revelation in this hour. He's going to reveal it by His Son, by His Spirit. This world doesn't know Messiah. As Elder Martin stopped by this morning, he said to me, he said, Pastor Roberts, few only are going to be saved. In every nation throughout this world, he said, few. For this is a world that doesn't love the Father. He says, one that cares about the earthly things. And if any man love the world, then the love of Yahweh is not in that man. I don't care who he is. It's not there. He loves his riches and looking after flesh. You know, I read an article this morning that said that $1 million is not sufficient to retire. I said, what a travesty. What a shame. What a sin. What a wickedness. I want to tell you something, saints. You don't have to believe it. But these nations of the world that are suffering today, they have not sinned like this nation. This is a perverted nation. You can go to those people and preach the truth. They will receive it with gladness of heart. They may not have a Bible, may not understand because their spirits are so open. They will receive it. They're just like Bereans. You preach to this rebellious nation, this hard-headed people. They are so caught up in their sins that their minds are so darkened. They're so blackened with sin, they cannot get free. They're so caught up, they're so bound, they're so ritualistic and so religious that they can't get free. They're self-righteous, they're lovers of themselves more than they're lovers of Yahweh. And we're going to see the retribution of that poured out upon this wicked nation. You watch those babies, and I say this, that's no regard to you having babies. It is still the same. Yahweh's truth is the same. You watch those children die in other countries, and we think it's not going to come here. We are foolish. We're sin, we're built idols, the idol of your heart, the Jezebel spirit, the spirit that rejects Yahweh's truth, it is still the same. You can't say nothing today that you perceive that offends you. You get offended. And then you shut your mind off to everything else. How sad that is. What a sad shame. Correct me, Father. How? In judgment? In judgment. That's always going to correct in judgment. He's going to judge your heart. And then once you began to do that, you began to understand truth. We got to continue this word. Messiah said, we continue in my word. You are my disciples indeed. And only then will you know the truth. Oh no, you're going to have to continue this road in order to know the truth. That's why people don't know truth today. That's why they're not free from their flesh. He said, if ye continue in my word, that's what you must do, continue in the word. You must continue in them. See, we think we can hear it and we think we got what it takes. No, you don't have what it takes. I was talking to Rich the other day. We were talking about algebra. And he said, I understand. He said, first, Pastor Roberts, I didn't understand it as well. He said, then Brother Al, he began to break down the principles to me. And he says, it's easy now. I understand that. Now, he understands the first principles of algebra. As he began to move up into calculus and physics, it becomes a little more, it's a little harder. But how do he stay in the way to understand those principles? Well, he go back to the concepts of the first principles of algebra. He goes back to those first principles. And then once he goes back to those first principles, he worked the equations to that. They will bring him to the masterful things. You think a man that's studying physics, he may have one problem. He may work on it for 4 or 5 years to understand the dynamics of that one problem. If a natural man spend that kind of time on one problem, then what will we spend on our eternal soul? There are men that spent 2 and 3 years trying to get the answer to one problem, and yet they never get the answer to that one problem. Like Einstein's theory of relativity, it has never been solved. They still, hundreds of years, and they still don't know the power of that theory. They work on principles of the theory. And that's what this religious whore is doing today. She's working on religious principles and not on the power of the principle. Why? Because men say, well, it's hard to understand that. And so they don't exert the energy. A man in physics will spend 4 or 5 years unraveling just one problem. That he may understand the dynamics of the atoms. Told them all the foolishness of preaching. To save them if that believes, saints. You got to believe the preaching. He told them about the foolishness of preaching. Not any of your studying, but the foolishness of preaching. Because it certifies your studying. That's what he has done. The Pharisees studied the scriptures all their lives. And here was a spoken word that came. And yet it did not solidify that thing in them. Don't tell me that our disputing and our talking, Paul, for 3.5 years with the elders, he warned them day and night, 3 years. He declared unto them the whole counsel of Yahweh. And after he left, grievous wolves entered in, it scattered the flock, it destroyed many, and they didn't have love for Yahweh. The whole principle of this thing, everything begins in your heart, saints. A love for him. When a man truly loves him, then he can love his body. And if we are the body of Yahweh, Yahshua, then if you don't love him, you can't love the body, all right? You can't love him. You can't do that. And so the principles of algebra, they're just like the principles of your way. If we continue his word, then we are his disciples indeed. We must continue there. Continue. If Brother Richard goes outside the principles of that algebra, he will mess up every time. But as long as he continues in that principle and that formula, it may look as though it's a difficult task, but he will come up with the answer. I'll never forget, some years ago, I read an article. This young lad, he was 15 years old, and they gave him 3 problems. UNC in Charlotte gave him 3 problems. It was going to take him 3 or 4 months to work out the problems. That was his summer's task, to work out those problems. A month had passed, he said he had worked out 1. And then the professor said, he responded, well, he doesn't know if it's right. He may think he's worked the problem, but he doesn't know. And can I tell you what will happen? That young lad, look at that. He said, oh my, he'll go back. They see where he missed it with this principle. And he'll go back. He'll work it another way and find a different answer. Then he has to go away through all that way, start back over from the first principles. That's where we got to start from, the first principles. What principle is that? Do you understand the principle of that? You understand the first principle? To love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you love your neighbor, how? As what? As yourself, as thyself. He said to the husband, he said, husband, you love your wife as you love what? Thyself. That's what he said. He said, you love your wife as you love thyself. He tell us to love our neighbors as we love what? Ourselves as thyself. That's scripture. It ain't something I said, it's scripture. You can't apply to some principle you want. When you apply to your principle, then destroy the whole integrity of it. That's what that's about, the integrity amongst this, what we call the saints of Yahweh. Sin and not sin. That's why he's going to have to take it to a fierce fire of judgment and tribulation. He's going to have to put this place in a fierce fire, a tremendous fire. That's what he's going to have to do. Because this is a rebellious house. It's a house that rejects his principles. And you're not going to go into the kingdom rejecting the principles of Yahweh. That's what it has done. And they establish their own traditions and their own principles. And they can't derive, they can't get to him that way. You're not going to get to him that way. No, you're not. Daniel, Noah, and Job, if they were living today, I can understand that clear every day. They would but only save themselves. They will not save one soul. Job couldn't save his sons. And all the preaching in the world, he couldn't save it. Daniel couldn't save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would only save. They would only be concerned with themselves. And that's the truth. And that's why you save yourself. I'm going to save myself, saints. If nobody stand with me, I'll save myself. Now, Sister Roberts can walk out today. I'm not going to change the principles of Yahweh for her. I'm not going to go away from his name for any of you. For her, I'm not going to go away from this deep conviction in my heart. And all the way we've gone hasn't brought about any perfect love. Hasn't brought about no perfect oneness. Hasn't brought about no fellowship of perfection. No, it hasn't. You sit here with hypocrisy in your heart and say it has, but it hasn't. And it's not, it can't even identify the body. But you're not identifying your loved ones, your loved ones. That's not what he said. That's not what he told us. He told us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We love our brothers as you love thyself. Husband, you love your wife as you love thyself. So the love for the wife and for the brother is the same. It is no different. It is no different. Is my mother any more neighbor to you than your mother? Same neighbor. Is your son any more neighbor to you than my son? You watch my son go to hell, but your son is more important? That ain't love. That ain't love. So I don't care who I touch. I don't care who I rip, reprove, and rebuke. Yet at times I do it in a shotgun way or just scatter it abroad, and I will personally deal with you, and you will know that. You think about that, Sister Marshall Neesmith. I reproved you severely, haven't I? Fair heart. Sometimes you get angry with Pastor Robert. The scripture says reprove a wise person and they will become wiser. It says reprove a fool and you will get yourself a blot. I rebuke you. I said hard things. Let the righteous smite thee. It will be an excellent oil. Sure, sister. Sure it has. Not one sister in here that I reprove, not here, as hard as I reproved her. And I remember that day that she called herself rising up. I said something very harsh to her too. And I told Brother Neesmith. And I watched her sister. And I watched the tears of brokenness and contriteness from her heart. Yeah, I did, saints. I wasn't gentle with her. But yet it was kindness. You know something, Brother Allen spoke to me this morning. He said, you know, sometimes the kids don't think I'm kind to them, but it's kindness. I will show you what even one scripture says about kindness. I'll read some scripture. And I was very tough. Amen. Why? Because you're always even tougher than that sister. For what reason? Well, to break every shackle. Break the bondage. Then that means you become a better wife to him. More loving, endearing wife. Amen. Made you commit more to him. Amen. You see, I even see that. I watch even now as she works in the kitchen. Cooking. I watch the spirit. And I like that. Now, before that, I didn't like the spirit when she worked in the kitchen. Not at all. I like what I see now, saints. And that's the truth. There must be a watchman, saints. We're a crazy generation. There has to be a watchman. And he has to watch. That's what Yahweh raised him for, to watch. I see things. I never forget what happened left. He said, you watching me? I said, no, brother. I'm looking because that's my responsibility. I said, you tell me I shouldn't watch? I never forget what the man said to me. He said, you're right. You should watch. It's right for you to watch. Then he went into that rage, but he agreed with that. You're right. He said, you should watch. You're right. You should watch. And that's what they're for, to watch, saints. We should walk in the counsel of the wicked. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's not my heart that caused you to do wicked. It's your own heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standing in the seat of the scorners. When a man doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, what? Well, your heart. When it advises you to do something you know is wrong, or to speak, or to move it away, that's wrong. You're not going to enter into the kingdom. There was a prayer that David prayed. I want to read this. I like the rendition or the translation in this other text I have. I want to read it from here first, though. I want to read it from this. From this translation. I got it here, but I want to read it from this translation. It says, Yahweh Psalm 15. The question was asked, who shall abide with you, Yahweh? Listen to this, saints. It says, Yahweh, Psalm 15, who shall abide in your house? And who shall live in your holy hill? Who's going to abide in the house of Yahweh? What a profound question. And who's going to live in his presence? He says that he that walketh upright and does righteousness and who speak the truth in his heart. That's what you must do. Speak the truth in your heart. These shall abide with you, Yahweh. These shall live in your holy hill. Now that is the first order of business. You got to get that right before you can move to the next step. Those that are going to abide in his presence are simply those that do righteously and speak the truth with their mouth. You must speak truth, saints. If that's one thing I've expressed to us, you must tell the truth. Tell it like it is. You don't add anything. You don't take anything away. Just tell it like it is. If you don't know, then suffer the wrongs. I don't know. All right. You receive even the accusation. That's how you do it. Because it's one thing, says we should never defend our flesh. Don't even try to defend it. Because when you begin to do that, then every kind of vile thing is going to rise from your heart. Don't ever defend flesh. We are set for one thing, and that's the defense of the truth. The kingdom message. I began to defend my flesh. I know what's going to happen. Anger is going to rise. Hostility. I become very vociferous. That's what's going to happen. He doesn't want us to do that. Yahshua didn't try to defend his flesh. He was set to be a defense of the truth that he represented. Paul did not try to defend Paul. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die. That ain't no big deal. Elijah said, just let me die. I'm not going to defend my life against this vile thing. And Yahweh took him on a journey. So he'd get a little rest. I believe that's what he did. He took him from the presence of that thing, that he would get a little rest. He said, I'll finish this. You started exactly what I wanted, and I'll finish it. He's going to finish this work, saints. He's going to finish it in righteousness. That's what he's going to do. He that has begun a good thing, he's begun a good thing in us. He's faithful, he's just, he's going to finish it. And we've got a truly born again. He's going to finish the work. If he's going to scour you with fire, he's going to show you every sin, every self-righteous way. That's what he's going to do. Until your heart cry out unto him. Until you pant for him. Like you love food and like you love your sin pleasures. You're going to cry to him like you love nothing else. He's going to have that. When he tells us to love him with everything, he means that. He means what he says. He says at verse 3, Psalm 15, to his brother, he does not take up reproach, nor does he do evil to his friends. He doesn't do it with his tongue. Does he backbite? Nor with his tongue does he backbite and slander. To his brother, he does not take up a reproach, a scornful attitude, an evil attitude toward him. Nor does he do evil to his friend, nor will he, with his tongue does he backbite and slander. Verse 4, he shall stand who despise a vile, wicked person that fall away. But he honored those who love and reverence Yahweh. He despised those that are vile. That's what it says. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned to be worthless. He despised a vile person. That's what they are. I don't care who it is. Even himself. He despised that. You want to dwell in his presence? I do. It's going to take this to correct us. He says, he shall stand. When a man despises a vile person, he shall stand. He that vowed to his hurt, he shall stand. He shall stand who despises a vile person. But he honored those who love and reverence Yahweh. So he honored those that love and reverence the Father. He that vowed to his own hurt, but changed not, shall abide with you. He put not his money out to the usury to his own people, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. He shall never be moved. He that does these things shall never be moved, and he shall abide with Almighty Yahweh. When a man does those things, he shall never be moved. Why are we being moved? From the steadfastness of faith. We've been moved, saints. Our hearts have been moved by trivial things. Been moved by fleshly things and carnal things. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. We should not commit that kind of fornication as saints. That should not even be named amongst us as becoming saints. That we go back and take a pleasure in fleshly things. It should not be named amongst us. That kind of sin should not be named amongst us as we become a saint. It should not. We will judge ourselves. We will have no need. If a man truly judge himself, when you judge yourself, you correct your way. You correct your doings. That's what you will do. This is a generation that doesn't want to do that. It doesn't want to do that. And that is not going to, that's not going to make it with your way. I'm telling you today, saints, you're not going to go into the kingdom. Solomon said that there are many devices of a man's heart. Many. There's so many devices in your heart. So many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless now, even knowing that the counsel of Yahweh, man walks in that counsel, he shall stand. All the devices that come to our hearts, they come to remove us away from his truth. And they bring us into the vice. That's what a device is. It brings you, it is a vice. It entraps you and it snares you. And it began to twist upon you heavily. When you tighten the vice down, it gets tighter and tighter. And so many devices. A man's heart has many devices. Oh, saints, a man's heart has many devices. He devises all kinds of things upon his bed. All kinds of things he devises upon his bed. 3 o'clock this morning, I was awake and I said, Father, what do I say? What do I speak? Nothing to say, nothing to speak. But to reveal him, I have to speak of his truth. I can't speak anything else. I have to show a rebellious and sinful generation the sins that are going to ensnare them and bring them down into the dungeons of darkness. That their minds become so dark and that they can't even hear the truth. That they rile against him. They rile against his name. They rile against his truth. They oppose his name. They oppose his truth. They oppose anything that identifies them. If Yahweh doesn't correct us, then we are bastards. The scripture says concerning a virtuous woman that her mouth is filled with wisdom. Her lips speak in wisdom. That's what they speak, saints. Her lips speak in wisdom. A virtuous woman. And her hands are full of kindness. There's no child, not one of you all. As a young man, as a child, there were times that my mother was never kind to me. When she told me I couldn't do this, couldn't go that way, couldn't say that. When she would whip me with the rod. I didn't think that was kindness. But that was kindness. When she would tag me, say you can't go out. That wasn't kind to me. But that was kindness. We don't see that as kindness. We don't think that that's the kindness of Yahweh. That when he take us and take his rod and put it on us, we don't perceive that as kindness. Because we got a twisted mentality of what Yahweh is trying to convey to us. What are you saying? Because it's our own vernacular. In our own judgment. That's the way we are. And it can't go that way. It cannot, saints. We better begin to search our hearts. Every last one of you. You better begin to judge it severely. For the heart of man is deceitful. Desperately wicked. There's nothing like it. Who can know it? Only Yahweh can know the heart of man. And so he reveals it by the preaching of the word. To show you what's in your heart. Your intentions, your motives. Your purpose. That's what he does. He reveals a man's heart that he may see his intents. He may understand his motive. That he may repent from that and change. He must do it in this hour. And he must do it expeditiously. Because if he doesn't, it won't do us. A woe to us. We fight against everything he says. We fight against his laws, his governments. We fight against the men of authority. No regard today. Me choosing this. And I use that, I preface that with a vocation. I have no vocation. But the call, to choose this calling, I wouldn't choose this. That was what I know. I wouldn't do it. Not one bit at all. It is just simply his birth in my soul. It's his fire. It's simply his fire. It's his fire. That caused me to stretch forth by faith. Because I can't do it by emotions or feelings. Because there are times I don't feel like preaching. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like doing a lot of things, but I simply do it by faith. Why? Because, well, I'm afraid if I say this, then it may offend Jeff. I say this, it may offend Sister Roberts. I say this, and Sister Dot may not like it. Say this, Sister Michelle may get upset. Deacon Teal may strike out against me. Sister Hoare may reject that. So it doesn't make any difference. I want him to say to me, you're my son. I'm well pleased in what you're doing. You've counseled them. You've told them what it's going to take. I require that and more. You're not going to make it with 99.9%. You must do 100. You must do 100. You're not going to make it partially. You must give all, saints. You must give everything to him. We're no more our own. We've been bought with a price. And for you to reject that price and say you haven't been bought, then woe unto your soul. You've been bought by the blood of Messiah. He has paid the price for our sins. No price you can pay. And if he's done that, then he knows how to guide us and how to strengthen us. And so he said, before I go back to my place of glory, I'm going to ordain gifts. And I will place them in the heart of men. Because you always said, I'm going to give them pastors, men, after my own heart. And they're going to lay me in doctrine, in scripture, and in truth. That they may feed you with the things that will give you strength to overcome the power of darkness. And that is the darkness that ensue you and pursue you in your own mind and your own spirit. Germany today question everything. And yet they never question their sins. They never try their own spirits. They never try and see what spirits in their hearts. Yet they will question the men of Yahweh. They will question them, their integrity. And yet they never question their integrity. They will question one another, brother and sister, their integrity. There's not one child, not one child that a parent has raised that they did not think they did them wrong when they did not spare their backsides. And yet it was done to produce a certain fruit and a certain action and a certain deed. And Yahweh is the same. We're children, so he's training us up. And he doesn't spare the rod because of your crying either. We all like children. All of ye are like children that have gone astray. We're going after our own strange lusts. Walked in our own wheels, in our own ways. That's what we have done. We've all gone astray from him. And the only way he's going to bring us back is by the staff and the rod. He brings the staff to pull us back and the rod. He said, I'm going to rule you this way. If you don't want me to rule in your life, go on. They didn't want Yahshua to rule over them. They will not have this man to rule over them. They don't want him to rule. They say Jesus ruling their lives. They're liars. They're full of hell and sin and corruption. The man they think they know as Jesus, they don't even allow him to rule. I can read things that they say Jesus said and they will not even obey. They're perverts. Full of sin. That's what your heart is filled with. And that's what you're always going to have to get out of, that sinful, fleshly, carnal identity. And that'll be one that is spiritual. And he's going to have that. Whether you love me or not, it doesn't make any difference at all. Whether you appreciate me, it doesn't make any difference. And that's just the truth. I know what scripture says. Glory. David says in Psalms chapter 141. Psalms 141 verse 3. He says this. He says, set a watch, O Yahweh, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. What a profound statement. Set a watch over my mouth. And keep my lips. Just watch my mouth. Set a watch over it. And keep my lips. Now this is a generation, they have no watch over their mouths. They speak words. They speak idleness with their tongues. He says, set a watch. He said, incline not my heart to do any evil, to practice wickedness with men that work iniquity, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. I will tell you, saints, that love is an expression from a heart. It is a manifest power of Yahweh in a man, and it is expressed in the fullness in a man's physical being. It is not just in words you say you love. There's no parent that have raised children, parents, that the child didn't think that the parent didn't love them when they corrected them. How many of you all, did you ever think that, Sister Marshall, that Mother Miller didn't love you when she corrected you? I know I did. She hates me. She doesn't love me. She put the rod to you. And of course she told the same thing with her mother. Is that so, Mother? She told the very same thing. She didn't think her mother was kind to her. She thought she was mean and ruthless. She called you a little hard-headed heifer. Why did she tell her that? She understood the disciplines of life, and she knew it was going to take that, that she would maybe fall in some of the same pits that she fell in. And I guarantee you, Raven doesn't think that. You ever thought that your mother don't love you? Huh? Speak so I can hear you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So she saw the same thing to mother. She didn't think mother was kind. You ever thought mother has not been kind to you? Yes, sir. I know I did. When I wanted my way, she wouldn't give me that. I didn't think that was kind. And that's the way we are, saints. We are just that way. We need to begin to search our hearts. What have I become? When he walks in that righteousness, you can't do anything to him. He's not easily offended. Why? Because first of all, he has a perfect love for the Father. He has that. He has a love for the Father and his truth. And he's not easily offended, saints. In this hour, men are turning their backs because they're offended. Offended by one another. And we should not be so easily offended. We get the pure love of Yahweh to love him. We won't be so easily offended. Huh? Because we suffer as a saint. And we suffer as a saint of Yahweh for righteous sake. Then we ought to rejoice. Now if you suffer as a sinner or a vile thing, you don't rejoice in that. Someone does you wrong and you know you're doing right, just rejoice. That's all you do, rejoice. You thank Yahweh for that. Glory. You just bless him. He's going to have men that stand with integrity and strength. If he doesn't, Father, take me out of this place today. If there's no integrity, take me. I mean that. I mean that with all of my heart. As Brother Ray was praying for me last night, that was one of the things he prayed concerning that. If I'm not a man of integrity, take me out. I mean that with all of my heart. Just like Elijah, take me, remove me, bring me only to the kingdom. I'm going to die anyway. So are you. You're fools to think that everyone is as corrupt as this wicked world. That was a virtuous woman. She excelled above all of them. So she wasn't like every last one of the rest of them. And Solomon had one that she was fairer than all the daughters of Zion. She was a precious thing. So they all weren't alike, all right? They all were not alike. Yeah, they all were not alike. That was something that was different, all right? There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. He was an upright, perfect man. One that feared Yahweh and he chewed evil. So they all weren't like Job. So they all weren't alike. They all weren't alike. There was a man in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a man who was named Lot. That his righteous soul was vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked day in and day out. That Yahweh shut the angels down to draw him out of that city. So they all were not alike. They were all not alike. Yahweh looked down upon the earth and he saw the wickedness of man. He said, my spirit will not always dwell with man. And yet that was one, he says, Noah. He wasn't like them. There was one that was born, his name was Moses. And the mother saw that he was the proper child. He wasn't like the rest of them. There was one that Yahweh said that one. His name is Jeremiah. And before you ever knew me, I formed me in the belly of your mother because I raised you up for a purpose. So they all were not alike. There were those that were brought by the Chaldeans into Babylon. They were brought in captivity. And there were one by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not alike like the rest of them. They didn't eat the king's meat, nor did they drink the king's wine. They were not like them. There was one that went in the dungeon. His name was Belshazzar. His name was Daniel. He was not like the rest of them. So they all were not alike. They all didn't walk in the same, all in the same spirit. There was one there in Jerusalem he was waiting for this revelation of Almighty Yahweh. His name was Simeon. And he went to the temple every day to wait for this profound revelation. They were not all like him. But there was one there waiting for this profound truth to be revealed. And now he said, I can die now. I see the glory of Yahweh. They were not all alike. Everybody's not like Archie's there. Everybody's not like you. Your wicked, corrupt ways. They're men of integrity. They're men of righteousness. They're daughters of Zion. They're pure intention. Hearts are real with the world. They're virtuous women. Got this corrupt mentality, this corrupt judgment. No, they all were not alike. No, they all were not alike. There was one by the name of Ahab. He did more wicked than all the kings that were before him. He wasn't like all the rest of them. There was one by the name of Esau had the kingdom blessed bestowed upon him. And he sold it just for pleasure, for sensual pleasure, for a season. They all were not alike. They were all not the same. There were two yet born. From before they were ever born, Yahweh loved one, he hated the other. There were two, Abel and Cain. And Abel was able to do just what Yahweh said. And Cain raised up one day and slew him. He was not like Abel. There was a mark put upon Cain. He was not like Abel. So they all are not alike. Hallelujah. There's a man walking down the road of Damascus one day. Before he walked down the road one day, he stood by and witnessed a young man. He said, "You stubborn, you stiff-necked generation, you vile serpents of hell, you always do resist the Holy Ghost, just like your papas. You have sin in your heart. That's why you resist the anointing of Yahweh." And they ran upon him with their ears shut, and they bit him, and they stoned him. And that man saw that one give up the ghost right there, and on the way to Damascus, to do the very same thing. Yahweh spoke to the man. So there weren't many like Stephen, but he wasn't like them. You're not all the same. Just like in every house, you got all kinds of vessels. Vessels of glass, vessels of wood, vessels of gold, vessels of silver. And so all vessels are not alike. So they're not all the same. What you put in a gold vessel, you wouldn't put in a wooden vessel. It's porous. When you put something in a gold vessel there, you know it's going to be preserved. It's going to maintain that fragrant. You put in a wood vessel or a clay vessel, it's porous. It's going to attract some of the things that have been in that vessel before. That's why he's not putting anything new in these corrupt fleshly vessels of ours. You got to crucify yourself. He's not putting anything in there. That's why there's no excellent anointing going forth. I don't care what you say. I don't care what these lying men are saying. They can say what they will. They can say what they want. There's no excellent of that power. Why? Because there's not a willingness to crucify. No, we don't want to do that. You're the same state we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You're dead. Don't tell me you're a flat-out liar. Same sins, same corruption. Why? Because you still got that old clay vessel. He's not going to put the new wine in these old vessels. He's not going to chance it. That's what a kiln is for. A kiln is a fire. And you put vessels in there to purify them. To take out all the draws and all the impurities so they don't break. And so before he fills us with this great mighty anointing, there's going to be a fire that's going to try the most inward integrity of your soul. And you're going to come forth as pure gold. Or you're going to be destroyed and you're going to be cast out into the potter's field. He said to Ezekiel, he said, "You go out and you find those that truly cry and sigh for righteousness." And he said, "You put a mark upon their head." There were not many crying and sighing for righteousness, but they all want a lot. They all want a lot. There were those in that city crying and sighing. They were terrified by the sins of the people. Hallelujah. He said, "You go and dig there." He said, "There, look at the daughters of Zion. They're weeping for Tammuz. They're weeping for their strange gods. They don't know Yahweh. And they're dug there." He said, "Oh, look at the elders. They give strength to that trash. You find your fleshly god. That's what it is. It's not Yahweh. And the elders get strict in that because they're afraid to touch your wicked sin. I'm not one that is afraid to touch your wickedness. You're going to die your damnable wicked ways. And in hell, you're going to lift up your eyes." No, they all were not alike. Some were different. They didn't all walk the same. The sons of Belial, they were worthless sons. They were worthless. They were worthless. Abigail said, "The man is a fool. He was a worthless man. He didn't have anything. He was a fool." Yeah, that's what he was. He's a son of Belial. Nabal, he's a son of Belial. He's a fool, David. And Yahweh destroyed him. Sure he did. There were not many judges like Jephthah and Samson. They were different than the rest of them. He hasn't changed anything at all. You try to change him. But I'm telling you something, honey, brother, sister. You're going to have to get it right. You're going to have to come his way. You must come in at the door. Broad is the way. You like the broad flesh way. Unless you do anything, unless you say anything, unless you act anyway, act like a fool, and say you're saved, you're not saved. When a man comes to the knowledge of truth, he must repent. He must change. And repentance is a changing of a mind. You don't walk the same. When you leave here today, you should walk the same way you walked an hour before you came here. Repentance transforms a man. He changes. His heart changes. Don't tell me you love me. Don't tell me you care for me. But if I truly care for what you will see it. You will see it in the countenance, the heart, the expression. When he comes in, there's a wonderful change. And that's the truth. No, all men are not charlatans. No, all of them are not liars. And they're going to tell you about your sin. I don't care who I touch. I don't care if I touch Deacon Tim, Brother Lee Smith. I don't care if I touch Brother Dale, Sister Celeste, Sister Horn, Sister Roberts. I don't care if Sister Dad. Brother Tim makes no difference. I won't call back nothing. If I call Sister Dr. Name, Sister Tracy, it makes no difference at all. Call Brother Dale's wife, then I do it. I would have nothing. Come to the always house. Sister Roberts, I would deal with her just like I do anyone else. Why? Because he said, love your neighbor. And this perverted generation don't know how to love. Look at who it is. Our sins must be revealed. Why? This is not a generation. The prescriptive tell you we ought to confess our faults one to another. That's why there ain't no fervent prayer. When someone confesses their faults and their sins, there's a fervent prayer. You ought to pray for their souls. You don't do that. Because we're full of pride. You can't say I'm wrong. You can't say I did wrong. No, you won't say that. You won't say that. No, you won't say I'm wrong. You won't say I had all in my heart. Here's a brother, sister. You won't say that. You got all you go to that brother, sister, get it right. What about doesn't really have no, you don't even keep the commandments of Yahweh. You keep your heart pure, you won't have no ought. Oh, that's the truth. You won't have no ought. You won't have nothing in your soul and your heart. Who do I favor? Well, I believe what the scripture says. I believe in honor all men. Glory. I believe in loving the brotherhood. I want to love the brotherhood. That means sisters and brothers alike. I love the brotherhood. And I want to fear Yahweh above all things. And I know what I fear when I begin to hate the evil, my evil ways, pride, arrogance, the froward mouth. I know what I'm fearing Yahweh. When you hate those things. When you despise what you say. When you hate the things that come out of your mouth. Will you speak against dignities because you don't know and don't understand? You will hate those things. You will know when you got the fear of Yahweh in your heart. You will know when there's something working down in your soul to bring you to that perfect light, bring you to His pure presence. No, we don't have no visitations from Yahweh. We're not going before Him. You're not getting before them. You can sit here like hypocrites, and I use that expression for our own good. You're not coming before Yahweh. You're going in a religious ritual fashion, but you're not breaking the bondage and the power of flesh. When Moses went before the presence of Yahweh, he was a changed man. His countenance was changed. They couldn't look upon him. We're going in a religious way. And what Yahweh's going to do is break this thing. He's going to have to break it. He's going to have to rid of us all these religious practices and the sin, this corruption. That's what he's going to have to do. And the only way he's going to do that, he's going to have to personally deal with you. He's going to have to personally deal with you. He's going to have to personally deal with you. He's going to have to personally deal with you. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's going to deal with you personally. Your heart and your sins. And show you your corruption. And show you how vile you are. And when God began to do that, then he's raising you up. And did you ready for the great trial? For the fire that's going to try you. You're not going to overcome this thing with sin in you. Not at all. I've preached over the years, many years I've preached that our own emotions are going to destroy us into hell. We rise and fall by our emotions. And that should not be. We rise and fall by our emotions. You said that against my son. You did that against our daughter. They're wicked as hell. They're wicked as hell. That's all in hell is wickedness. That's the purpose of it for wickedness. And that's wicked as hell. That's what they are. You get upset with the preacher, you get upset with him. Because many of them are going to hell, most of them. Sons and daughters, cousins and nephews, husbands and wives. Sure they are, grannies and grandmamas. Yes, they are. Few there be. Few. I want to be a part of the few. Few there be. Straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto eternal life. Few. Few. I'll tell you what. Look that word up and see what it means. Few. 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 It's going to be a few saints. He means what it says. It's such a few that he destroyed this whole earth. Only 8 people preach of righteousness, he said. He went down into the Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed everyone, but not his son-in-laws mocked him. And then he brought his daughters out, and because of their own wantonness, their own drunkenness, because of their wantonness, that's all it was. Then they defiled him. It's in the book. We've done things worse than his daughters. Spiritually. He says in verse 5, let the righteous man smite me, it shall be kindness. And let the righteous man smite me, it shall be kindness. I like the way it's conveyed here. Let the righteous man strike me, it will be a kindness. Let the righteous man reprove me, rebuke and correct, us. It would be like an excellent oil on our heads. Oh, do not let our heads refuse it, for our prayers will ascend because of these injuries. He said, because they have smitten you, and because they have brought harm or hurt to you, it will make your prayers go up. Amen. You will pray the more. Amen. You will pray. That's why we don't pray. Amen. That's why we don't pray, because we don't want no smiting. We don't want the righteous one to strike us. That's why it's very little prayer. You can't find prayer nowhere. We may come for an hour, but ain't no real stuff. Amen. Messiah prayed in that garden. Amen. Peter. And rolled in the sanctuary of prayer while old Peter was in bondage. Where about the shackles were loose. Now that's what prayer will do for us, saints. It will loose every shackle. Break every stronghold. Take the traps off our lives. That's what it will do, brothers and sisters. That's what prayer will do. It will break every shackle. It will break every shackle. And we need to pray. As the old sage would say, if there's ever time to pray, we sure need to do it now. If we ever need to fast, it's the time to do it now. We give to our flesh. We love it. We love all fleshly things more than we love things that are pure and righteous. We want to take care of nothing but this. Men become lovers of their own selves, of themselves. And that's what this generation is. That which belongs to myself. That is what our love. And that's not what the Father wants. That's not what He wants. He wants us to be virtuous. Virtuous saints. Why? Because that virtuous woman, she opened her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue, it's a law of kindness. Amen. That's what's in a virtuous woman. Amen. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, brothers and sisters, but now ye also put off these things. This is what we put off. Anger. Now, we never get angry. I don't. Wrath. That fighting. That willingness to fight. He said, malice, that evil corruption, blasphemy, filthy conversation out of your mouth. Now, you wouldn't think you commit filthy conversation. Huh? Speaking against your brothers and sisters? You wouldn't think that. Doing them wrong. Filthy conversation, he said. He said, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. And you put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. He said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarians, Scythians, bond nor free, but Messiah in all and is in all. And he says to us, put on therefore as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Forbear one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Messiah gave, so also do you. Above all these things, now look at this, above all these things, even when you do all these, above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And once you do that, then he said, and let the peace of Yahweh rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. We're calling one body. One body. No two bodies. There's no black body, no white body, Jew body, or Greek body, a Scythian body. It is one body. And that body is Messiah. Yahshua. Yahweh in the flesh is that body. He tells us what things to put off. Our anger. Our own anger, our own wrath. We're so ready to vindicate. That's wrong. Blasphemy. But I don't believe he means that. He means just what he says. He has not made this thing so complicated that we can't understand. Even a fool can read it and understand it. He just can't live it. Now, folks, they pick this thing up all the time and read it. They will fill the whole houses throughout America today and tomorrow. And they will read it. But it has no practical principles to them. No whatsoever. They will fill these whole houses tomorrow. On the pagan worship day. It's pagan. I don't care what you say. Pagan. It's pagan. Will I keep the Shabbat? No, you're not keeping those Shabbats. And they will fill the whole houses tomorrow. They will read from this book that I'm reading from. And it has no practical implications to them at all. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. And those preachers will say, well, I want to go that way. No, I'm going that way. I'm going the way whereby I know I'm going to encounter flesh. I want to, because I want to take the sword and cut it. I'm going to cut it where it cries and cries. I want it to cry. Why? Because I will give